We were at the state fair, my brother Paul and I, on the noisy midway. Barkers dared us to games of skill and chance, and the air hung thick with the mingled aroma of popcorn, cotton candy, and cigar smoke. Paul forked over a quarter to a skinny man with an enormous Adam's apple. The man handed him three baseballs, the kind without covers that look like brown balls of twine, to toss at a pyramid of tin milk bottles a dozen paces away in the shade of the booth. I watched. Paul was an outfielder in Pony League with an arm that could peg a ball in from deep left field in a hard, flat line. He wound up and threw at the bottles and missed. He threw a second time, hit the top bottles, and sent one of them wobbling to the sawdust floor. He hit another with his third ball, not enough for a prize. Paul handed over another quarter, took another three baseballs from the man with the Adam's apple. He kept throwing for about half an hour. He spent all his money, never won a prize. Then he turned to me. "How much money you got left?" he asked. 75 cents, I said. "Let me have it." I reached into my pocket, instinctively obeying my older brother, but then I hesitated. 75 cents, I thought. 9 more balls. I knew he'd never be able to knock down the milk bottles, even if he had 90 more throws. The game was fixed. If I could see it, why couldn't he? I explained it to him. The skinny bottles were weighted low, then stacked in such a way no ball could hit more than one of them at a time. The bottles were curved, I told him. He was throwing one round object at another round object. The sweet spot, the point at which the force of the ball could be transferred to the bottle and knock it down, was smaller than a dime. Simple physics, I said. "I don't care," my brother said. "All I have to do is hit it just right. I know it. Give me your money." But I wouldn't. He'd already spent more than any of the cheap prizes was worth, and I said so. "I don't care about the prize," he said. "You can have the prize. I just want to knock down those bottles." Still, I didn't give in. It angered me to see him suckered, and I wouldn't be part of it. A few weeks later, on a bitter November day, Paul and I were delivering our paper routes using the red wagon we shared. An icy drizzle began to fall. In a few minutes, we were soaked, and my gloveless fingers and bootless feet froze up so bad I began crying out in pain, just bawling right there on the paper route. Without a word, Paul made a seat for me in the wagon and covered my legs with the canvas newspaper bag. For an hour in the freezing rain, he hauled that wagon and me from house to house, block to block, delivering all his papers, and mine too. He didn't have a raincoat either, or gloves or boots. He never said anything to our parents, never teased me about it, never mentioned the incident to anyone. Not giving my brother my 75 cents to blow on a stupid carnival con was the right thing to do. I've never doubted that. But it wasn't the good thing. Sometimes the right thing isn't the right thing to do. Sometimes the good thing is the right thing to do. The good thing would have been to bet my money, all of it, on my brother's silly quest for a Cupid doll. It would have been a bargain. How often can you ever afford to give your brother, who pulled you through the freezing rain, 9 more chances at anything?